You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine, along with co-host Patricia Traina, and it's a Tuesday, which makes that a Twitter Tuesday here at Locked On Giants. And Patty, we have a ton of really good questions to get to today.
Oh my gosh, I was just absolutely floored by the number of questions we got. Twitter questions, we got them via email. We've got so many questions today to get to. You know, a lot of questions, you know, overlap, that's okay. But, you know, Ed and I actually have a little surprise for you guys regarding how we're going to get to all your questions today.
We are actually going to do not only a Twitter Tuesday, but we have so many questions that we are actually going to do this over two episodes. We're also going to do a Twitter Thursday. So if you haven't yet sent us a question, send it to Locked On Giants Podcast at Gmail. Send it to our Twitter account, which is Locked On _ Giants. If I have that right, Patty, I'm always nervous about that one. send it to either of us, you know, at Patricia _Traina or at Big Blue View, you know, on Twitter, and we'll add it to the pile for Thursday. And between those 2 days, I'm already going to apologize. We're probably not going to get to everybody's questions anyway, but we appreciate you guys sending them in.
Yeah, we're going to try our best to get to all the questions that were sent in. Again, some of you guys asked the same questions as others, so we're gonna do our very best and hope that, you know, this show and Twitter Thursday are you know, that you guys enjoy it.
All right, Patty, with all of that preamble out of the way, let's get to some of these questions.
All right.
All right, our first question comes from Eric Worden, and he asks, "We were 3-13 last year with talent we thought could win a Super Bowl. I think as fans, we had too high of expectations. Would it make sense to think the Giants are actually closer to a 6-10 team than a 10-6 team? One draft can't fix the entire roster." Patty, floor is yours.
Well, I agree with you that one draft will not fix and undo, what, 5 or 6 or 7 years worth of bad drafts. I absolutely agree with you. Are the expectations higher? I think that was the case. I think a lot of people, you know, saw the decision to keep Eli Manning, to stick with Eli Manning, to add all the veteran talent they did. I think they have 6 or 7 guys who are over the age of 30 on the roster. So a lot of people saw that as a signal that the Giants are trying to win now before that Manning window closes. But you're right. It's kind of a what's the word I want? It's kind of, they're stuck in the middle because they want to win now, but yet they have, you know, and they've changed the roster up. They've upgraded in some areas, but there are other areas where they still need to kind of come together. So it's really been an interesting scenario to see play out so far, you know. And the other thing I'll mention is that we still don't know who this team is. I mean, they've only played 2 regular season games with the 53-man roster that they have. And I don't think we'll really get a feel for who this team is or what this team is until we're about 4 games into the season. So I know it sounds, you know, like hard to do, but I think we kind of have to sit and wait this out a little bit. And I know time is ticking away. There's 2 losses in the books, but it's still kind of early. And I'm just curious to see how it all unfolds.
I do think, Patty, that it's a really, really interesting conundrum, because I have been one of those who said, look, it's obvious, it's apparent that the Giants are in win now mode. You know, the question is, are they actually prepared to win now? I don't know that they're a 6-10 team. I don't know that they're a 10-6 team. You know, what I do know is that the path that they chose was to push off a decision for the future. To me, you know, this team is one that really I have called a successful season one that includes a playoff berth. I would feel like this team can at least hang its hat and say, you know, we had a good year, we moved forward. If we get to week 16 and week 17 and this team is at least playing games that have it in contention, you know, that are meaningful at that point, you know, if you're going to be 6-10 and you know you're going to be 6-10 or you're going to win 5 games, then why did you stay with the 37-year-old quarterback? It's not a perfect roster. It is going to take time to fix it long term. But I still believe that to justify this path, you know, the Giants have to win. They have to win some football games.
Absolutely, they have to win. They have to be better than 3-13. But, you know, I think if you took a survey amongst, you know, the fan base, amongst, you know, even the players and the coaches, I don't know that there is a clear definition as to what constitutes a successful season. I mean, to me, a successful season would be being better than you were last year, and they should be better than they were last year. But with that said, would everybody be happy with a 6-10 season, which is technically better than last year? I mean, I don't know. And again, it's almost like, you know, like you said, they made this decision to win now with Eli and push off the future. And, you know, Eli can still, you know, I still think they can win now with Eli, but I've said it all along. You've got to give him the supporting cast around him. And you know, you put together an offensive line that's brand new. I mean, there's contradictions I see in the win now strategy versus the rebuild for the future strategy.
Patty, without doubt, they're caught in the middle somewhere, and it's not a great place to be. We'll have to see how it all works out. In the meantime, let's get to our second question before we spend half the show on a first one. All right, McHenry Johnson asks a question about Prince Amukamara, our old friend Prince. Mm. So Prince looked good for the Bears in their in their first couple games. Do you know why? The situation with Prince and the Giants never really worked out. Basically asking, you know, why the Giants moved on from Prince. You know, Patty, I do have some thoughts on that. I'm just going to share quickly. Look, the situation with Prince Amukamara, from my view, is Prince Amukamara was a good but not great player, not really an impact player, a guy who could cover but wasn't a number one corner. Was probably looking for, you know, was a free agent a couple of years ago, you know, looking for a big contract, which I don't think he ever really got. He was never a guy who really created big plays, created turnovers. And I thought in 2016, the situation the Giants were in was they just looked at Prince Amukamara. They looked at Janoris Jenkins, who was on the market, and thought that Janoris Jenkins was you know, a better player, more of an impact player, thought they needed to make some changes and went in that direction.
I think you said it all, Ed. I mean, there's serviceable cornerbacks, and then there are game-changing cornerbacks. And look, you know, I adore Prince. I thought he was just a breath of fresh air in so many ways, a good dude, you know, who gave it his all, you know, just a sweetheart of a guy. Serviceable, yes, but if you're talking in terms of, you know, your defense, you want more than serviceable, all right? Your starting corners, you want them to be shut down cornerbacks. And I agree with you. I don't know that Prince was necessarily a shut down cornerback. So, you know, would he be a great depth player? Absolutely. You know, would I like to see him come back to the roster? Yeah, if he was available, sure. But I think the Giants kind of moved, you know, they moved on from him. And, you know, you see Dave Gettleman, who very slowly but surely is cleaning out the last few Jerry Reese draft picks. You know, I think there's going to be some exceptions. Obviously, you know, Odell's an exception. I think Landon Collins will be an exception. But, you know, this is now Dave Gettleman's team, and he's going to gradually put his guys in place. And I don't know necessarily if Prince would have been one of his guys, even though, as you know, as McHenry said, he is a serviceable corner.
All right, Patty, let's get to our next question, and it really is our first of what are probably going to be several direct offensive line questions, and it has to do with the line calls and the communication on the offensive line. And it basically says John Pettorino wants to know if we believe that John Halapio, who's now out for the season, has possibly contributed to the missed assignments on the offensive line as a whole. John says it appeared to be better in terms of communication when John Greco came in, although I'm not sure if that's because it was late in the game and Dallas changed defensive schemes. So what are our thoughts on the communication and whether it might have been better with Greco than with Halapio?
I'll take that one first. Number one, I do, you know, not to take away from the job that John Greco did, but that the last, you know, towards the end of the game, you're right, Dallas was in a different defense. That's why the Giants were able to really pad their stats in garbage time. All right. So I think we have to throw that out. Regarding the line calls, I think it also needs to be said that Eli Manning can make line calls as well. He can change protection based on what he's seeing. So to come right out and say that, you know, John Halapio and his line calls were to blame for missed assignments, I don't buy that, and I don't think that's a fair statement. What I think might have happened, and I go back to a quote from Mike Shula that rings very loudly in my ears, is that guys simply had mental errors. They didn't know what to do. Maybe they missed the call because of the crowd noise. I don't know. Maybe they didn't understand something. But just watching the tape, and I did a breakdown on the offensive line for The Athletic. I think that piece ran this morning. To me, it just looked like there was a lot of confusion where guys would go to do one thing, and then suddenly it's like, oh, crap, I was supposed to do the other thing, you know? So I think that was just assignment error, not necessarily the calls per se.
I would agree with that, Patty. I think it's impossible for us to know, you know, the line calls and things like that. There's just no way to know. I mean, but it was apparent, you know, that there were plenty of times on Sunday night that the Giants simply, you know, that too many blockers, whether it was fullback Shane Smith, whether it was a running back like Jonathan Stewart, you know, whether it was Will Hernandez in one situation or Patrick Omame or whoever it was, there were too many instances where there were free runners because somebody blocked the wrong guy. Now, you know, you mentioned, you know, that Mike Shula mentioned it last week. You know, Pat Shurmur said this week that he thought that the Giants had enough hats, they had enough blockers to pick up what Dallas was doing. Eli Manning said it yesterday. He thought there were assignment errors. You can watch the film as you did and as I did, and you see times where two guys go to block one guy and another guy comes free. You see times where running backs jump to the wrong, you know, to the wrong rushers and somebody comes free. That's not the line calls to me. That's guys just not understanding, you know, what they're supposed to do or which guy they're responsible for. It bothers me a lot, you know, because some of these guys are veteran players who should know better, you know, whether they're a new offensive line or not, whether they're new, you know, to this group or not. I think, you know, it bothered me to see, you know, veteran players making these kinds of mistakes.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, if you're prepared, and that's why, you know, I asked the question, and I didn't mince words, and I don't know if I ticked off Shurmur yesterday, but it had to be said. If you are prepared, you don't make those types of mistakes. And that's why I was curious to know, you know, did you think the guys were prepared? Now, I didn't think he was going to necessarily say, no, we weren't. I mean, he kind of gave me the answer I thought, you know, he would. But, you know, the tape doesn't lie. And like we said before, you know, you see two guys going to block one guy. And then suddenly somebody pops up and goes, oh, my God. You know, he has that look like, oh, damn, I missed the assignment. That's a preparation thing. That's a mental mistake. And that's what they have to eliminate. Yeah, they had enough hats to go around. Absolutely. I mean, it's 11 on 11, for heaven's sake. But, you know, if you're putting two guys on one guy, now you don't have enough hats. And the only reason why you don't have enough hats is because somebody made a mistake.
Patty, we've got a lot of questions to get to today. Let's take our first break, for a word from some of our sponsors. We'll come back. We'll get to more of your questions in just a minute, Giants fans. Giants fans, let's talk about advice. Patty and I are always being asked for it, but one thing we can't do is tell you who is going to win or lose the games. If you think you know, you've got to check out MyBookie. MyBookie has been in business for years, has great online reviews, and offers an easy-to-use mobile site. You win, MyBookie pays. It's that simple. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Wait until after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and MyBookie will give you an extra $25 free play on deposits of more than $100. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate this special offer for our listeners. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, Giants fans, Ed Valentine and Patricia Traina here, continuing our Twitter Tuesday on Locked On Giants. We've taken a couple of questions so far, lots and lots more to get to today. Let's take our next question comes from James Mangiano, and we've kind of touched on the topic that James wants to hit here, but I think this is a really good question, so let's take it on directly. James writes, I believe that Dave Gettleman will build this team back into a perennial playoff contender. He has a great history of building teams and picking players with the Giants and the Panthers. What I'm worried about is that by the time he gets the rest of the team to where it needs to be in 2 or 3 years, that Eli Manning will be ready to retire. Do you see the same timing issues in the way this team is built? Patty, I'm going to let you take that one first.
I'm going to say yes. I mean, look, they made a decision. They believe they can win with Eli Manning. You know, I support the decision because, you know, I have always said that Eli Manning, with a good supporting cast around him, can be an effective quarterback. But, you know, it's interesting. And I'm going to go back to something that Kevin Gilbride said in an interview, I want to say a year or two ago, that kind of, I think, applies here. Gilbride spoke about, he was speaking about the offensive line. And I believe it was an interview he did with NBC. So he said, you know, look, I started to ask management for offensive linemen as early as 2010. Okay, if you remember, that was the last year I believe they had that great offensive line that they had, O'Hara, Snee, Deal, McKenzie, who am I missing, Seibert. And so you know, Gilbride began to ask for offensive linemen to develop. Now, what's kind of interesting and why I bring that up is because the Giants drafted Kyle Lauletta, who may or may not be the future quarterback, we don't know. But I just, you know, how are they going to develop this kid if he doesn't play? You know, it's kind of a weird situation with a quarterback. You can only play one quarterback. You know, and I think in talking with Kyle Lauletta a couple weeks ago, he mentioned, you know, now my reps are going to change. I'm going to run the scout team. So basically you're running the other team's offense. You're not necessarily running your team's offense. So I just wonder what the plan is as far as life after Eli Manning. You know, you'd like to think that Eli is going to play, you know, well this year, and he's going to be able to finish out his contract, and who knows, maybe even take the team through the 2020 season, which is the last year of the CBA. But if he doesn't, then what are you left with? What's your plan? And that's what I'm just, you know, kind of I wouldn't say worried about, but wondering about.
Patty, this is the conundrum that the 2018 Giants, you know, that Dave Gettleman, Pat Shurmur face. You know, Gettleman talked in the offseason about, you know, having to balance the present and the future. And I think that, you know, the deal is, you look at it, obviously with the guys that they had and the number two pick, the easy answer was Eli Manning gives the Giants the best chance to win games in 2018. How many games, how ready the rest of the roster is to win games, you know, that's the issue. And what James hits on here is something that's an obvious concern. We've said many, many times, you can't fix a 3-13 roster in one off season. You see all of this turnover. You see the Giants continuing to search for players. All of the change on the offensive line. You're not going to get every single free agent move right. You're not going to get every draft pick right. It's going to take time to... You don't rebuild, you know, 5 or 6 years of poor drafting and poor personnel decisions. You just don't rebuild that in 1 year. And I think this is an obvious issue, is how much can the Giants win over, you know, this year, next year, you know, what, however many more years they go with Eli Manning. So it is a conundrum. You know, what we can't, you know, what I don't think is tolerable over the next couple of years with Eli Manning are, you know, 4-12, 5-11, 6-10 seasons. That the Giants somehow have to find a way to at least to justify what they've done and the path that they've taken, and not, you know, just looking at it and blowing it up right from the beginning. They have to be a contending team. That doesn't mean Super Bowls. It means, you know, they've got to be in that mix for wild card berths. They've got to be in that mix for the NFC East. And you know, it's a tough spot, because is the rest of the roster ready? If the Giants can get the ball to Saquon Barkley all the time and get the ball to Odell Beckham and Evan Ingram, maybe it is. But it's a tough spot, because they are caught in the middle.
They really are. I mean, it's almost like an identity crisis. You know, you come in, excuse me, and you say to yourself, okay, look, on paper, the offensive line looks better. On paper, the defense looks better. But as I mentioned before, this is a team that's still trying to find itself. You know, they're only two and a half weeks in from having, you know, gone from a 90-man roster to a 53-man roster. So I just think that, you know, we still don't know what we have in this team. I don't know that the first 2 weeks that we've seen are a true indication. You know, but I do know this much. I know that they have to play better football. They can't be making the mental mistakes that they've been making. And, you know, things have got to start turning around before this season slips away.
Patty, let's take another question. And this is a simple, straightforward one from Ricardo that came via email to us. Ricardo simply wants to know, is there any chance of improvement in this Giants offensive line? If we don't bring in some help this season, the year will have an early end.
I think people need to calm down a little bit about the offensive line, and let me explain why. This is a new unit with five new starters, okay? Now you're going to have a new center because of the injury to John Jalapio, all right? This unit is trying to build chemistry. They are trying to to learn about each other. They are trying to learn how the guy next to them thinks. You start trying to swap guys out unnecessarily, and guess what? You're going to send that chemistry and any progress that unit makes back to square one. Now, I know the line has been inconsistent. I get that. But you can't keep exchanging things. It's like, I'm trying to think of a good analogy here. It's like, you know, you keep changing your order at a restaurant, and sooner or later the server's going to get frustrated with you. You know, the chef is going to get frustrated with you, and you're probably not going to get, you know, the right dish. Actually, a better analogy, you know, you order, you know, lasagna, and now you're telling the chef, well, I don't want meat in it, I don't want sausage in it, I don't want you to put salt in it. Now you're going to alter the taste and the impact of the original recipe. And I know people are frustrated by the offensive line. I sense it. I am, you know, I agree the unit needs to play better, but you also have to give that unit time to get together, to learn about each other. Because remember, they did not play together a lot in the preseason. And this is a point I made on Twitter. You know, I'm just kind of surprised they didn't get more reps together because they are a brand new unit. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20, I get that. But, you know, when you have a new unit like that, you have to just kind of let them work through the bugs and, you know, come together.
I can agree with that to an extent, Patty. You know, the issue with, you know, with all of that right now is something that we've both indicated previously as well. We're waiting for all of that to happen. The 2018 season is slipping away, and so is another year of Eli Manning's career, you know, which pushes us another year closer to, you know, to that rebuild or to that situation where you've got to find another quarterback. So, you know, it's got to happen soon. You know, we understand the issues, but it's got to happen soon, you know, for this season not to go down the drain. The other thing that I will say is everybody needs to be realistic about one thing. The line that they have is what they have. There aren't any better players out there on the street than the ones that they have right now. There are guys who are free agents, a few of them whose names you'll recognize. You know, but we've been down this road talking about players who are on the street, you know, when the season starts for years and years now. You know, they're on the street for a reason. They're on the street because no one in the NFL currently believes that they're better than the players on the rosters that they have right now. They're on the street because NFL talent evaluators, don't believe that they're starting caliber NFL players. You know, they're on the street because the teams that cut them didn't want them. So there's no, you know, it's not a panacea. You can't just turn to free agency and all of a sudden find a new right tackle or find a brand new center, you know, in the middle of the season, or find a replacement for Patrick Omame in the middle of the season. I mean, you can go back and get John Jerry if you want, but we saw for a number of years that's not a great answer. So the guys that they have are the ones that they have. You know, maybe eventually you see a lineup change here and there, but you're not going to see a whole bunch of guys come off the street and magically fix this offensive line.
Right, and if I could just add to that, and I know a few people asked about Eric Flowers, who, by the way, I don't think Eric Flowers was completely the problem against the Cowboys. I thought he played a lot better. But, you know, people say, oh, my God, when are they going to sit there, you know, bench Eric Flowers? You know, if they thought that Chad Wheeler was better, the better option, I think they would have done it by now. You know, I'm just amazed. You know, what's the old saying about backup quarterbacks? You know, the backup quarterback's always the most popular guy on a team. And I just think, you know, in this case, the backup offensive linemen are suddenly going to be the most popular guys on the team. But look, you know, there's a reason why these guys are backups. And I have to believe that if the coaches thought for a moment that, you know, Eric Flowers wasn't getting the job done and Chad Wheeler would, you know, would give them the best opportunity to win, they would have made that move, you know, weeks ago. So I just think we need to calm down about that. It is what it is. And, you know, Shermer has said, look, we're not going to give up on guys. We're going to coach them up. We're going to try and get them better. And that's just how it's going to be, whether we like it or not.
I would agree, Patty. Patty, let's take our second quick break for a word from more of our sponsors today. Then we'll come back, take a couple more questions before we call it a show for this Tuesday. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Okay, Giants fans, Ed Valentine and Patricia Traina here on a Locked On Giants Twitter Tuesday with the Giants at 0-2. With the struggles that they had against Dallas in pass protection, you know, pretty apparent with the fact that they haven't scored nearly enough points the first 2 weeks. You know, we're getting a lot of questions. We're going to get to a couple more here before we call it a show. And as I said earlier, we will come back Thursday and answer more questions. So if you don't hear your question today, tune back in on Thursday, and we will get we'll get to as many as we can. All right, Patty. Our next question comes from Matthew DeSantis, and Matt wants to know quite simply, if you were the Giants, would you trade for Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston?
No, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm no offense, Matthew, but number one, Winston is not on the trading block, all right? So, you know, why even go there? And number two, why would you want to trade for him? I mean, if anything, you know, when it's time for Eli to move on, you want a guy that you've developed, a guy that you've molded. And just, you know, I just don't get the obsession with this. This isn't fantasy football. Jameis Winston's serving a suspension. And yes, Ryan Fitzpatrick looks good down there in Tampa Bay, but he's also, what, 37, 38 years old? I mean, how much longer can the guy play? He's been a journeyman. So I just don't get the logic behind this question.
I don't either, Patty. I mean, my answer to this is absolutely not. I mean, I don't, 37-year-old Eli Manning is a better player than Jameis Winston. I'm sorry. You know, that's just the way it is. He's a better player. He's a better locker room. He's a better locker room leader. There's all kinds of baggage that comes with Jameis Winston. And I'm not convinced he's a very good quarterback to begin with. I mean, why would you trade and draft resources that you need to continue to rebuild a roster that still needs help, you know, for a quarterback like this? You have Kyle Lauletta, you have Eli Manning, that's what you're going to roll with, and insert quarterback name here. I don't see trading for another quarterback, especially one like this.
Yeah, I agree. I just maybe you make that trade in fantasy football, but it doesn't make sense in real time. It really doesn't. And it's like you said, you know, you're trying to rebuild a roster. You're trying to undo, you know, 7 or 8 years worth of bad drafts. Why would you part with draft picks to get Jameis Winston? It makes no sense. You're better off just keeping those picks and using them on a young quarterback.
Absolutely, Patty. Patty, let's get to one more question today. We'll take a question from Dave Leahy. And Dave says, you know, forget quarterback hell, which is, you know, one of Dave Gettleman's, you know, phrases that he would like to avoid. He says, I think we're in roster hell. And Dave wants to know, given all the changes that the Giants have made, to what extent are the struggles with the offensive line, the defensive backs, really everywhere across the roster, a result of the incredible, you know, roster churn that the Giants have gone through?
Oh, that's a tough one to answer, because with certain positions, you know, these, all right, I know I've been saying that the offensive line needed more time to play together. So I think, you know, you can maybe make a case there. But with that said, you know, the cornerbacks, the defensive line, you know, these units have all been together since May. So you'd like to think that the chemistry and the camaraderie is developing. I asked Damon Harrison yesterday on the conference call about the slow start, specific to the defense, why the defense starts so slow. And he said, and I'm going to paraphrase here, that, you know, guys are still kind of like feeling things out a little bit, you know, trying to see how the game is going to unfold. And once they have a feel for it, they're able to, you know, pick up and play a little faster. So I just think, you know, are there some units where you can make the argument that the roster churning might have had an effect on them? Yes. You know, the offensive line to me is the biggest one, because those guys need to play together. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. They need to play together. They need to be able to understand and anticipate what the guy next to them is thinking and how they're going to react in situations. But the cornerbacks, those guys are kind of out on an island, or, you know, in the slot or whatever. So I don't think it's as big of a deal with the other positions outside of the offensive line, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
The way I look at this, Patty, is the roster churn had to be done. You know, the reality of it is Carl Banks was on WFAN yesterday in his regular spot. And he basically said that the sober assessment of where the Giants were is that they were a 3-13 football team a year ago with bad talent. And that's a quote from Carl, bad talent. All right. They had a bad roster. It needed to be upgraded. It still needs to be upgraded in many areas. That is something, as we've said, that just can't happen in one off season. This roster churn was unavoidable. You know, that said, you know, you look at all the changes the Giants made even after building their 53-man roster. I think they changed over 8 spots within a couple of days. You know, most of those guys have played very little to this point. So the guys who have been playing have been together for a few months. You know, what we're seeing, I think, are still the areas that you and I and other, you know, members of the media and other analysts identified as problem areas or potential problem areas 4 or 5 or 6 months ago, still, you know, showing up at this point as potential problem areas: the pass rush, the free safety position, the development of the offensive line. You know, It is what it is. I think that roster turnover simply had to be done. And to be honest with you, heading into even next offseason, if you want to look that far ahead, you know, even more of it is going to continue to need to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Dave Gettleman said it a while ago. He said roster, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And roster building is a 12-month process. You have to be alert. You have to keep your eyes open for you know, guys who might be able to upgrade things. So, you know, I think we need to be patient. Is this roster better than what they had last year? You know, on paper, it looks better. I mean, the results aren't necessarily there, but, you know, you're starting to see certain areas, little subtle improvements. But again, I get it. The bottom line is the wins and the losses. And right now they have two losses. And, you know, I just think it's too soon to, you know, throw up your arms in panic and say, oh, my God, we're in for another 3-13 season.
We just have to hope, Patty, that the improvements and the things that we need to see, you know, begin to happen, you know, before the season slips completely away and before, you know, before the Giants have, you know, have basically, you know, lost another season or thrown another season down the drain.
Yeah, I mean, again, Eli, you look at the decision to stay with Eli Manning, and the guy is 37 years old, still capable of playing, but he needs help around him. I mean, he can't do it by himself. No quarterback can really do it by himself. So my concern, you know, and just going back to an earlier question we got, is that, you know, the Giants have wasted the prime years of Eli Manning's career, I think, you know, with the bad drafts and whatnot. And my concern is whether or not Gettleman can put together a quick fix that is effective and salvages what's left of what Eli Manning has to offer.
That's a point, Patty, that I've made a number of times at Big Blue View. It's something that we've talked about for a while. You know, is there enough time? You know, Eli is probably not the player that he was 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. I think I mentioned it yesterday. I think there's a cumulative effect of all of the hits and all of the losing of the last, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years that Eli has gone through. And we just cross our fingers and hope that, you know, this is the path that they've chosen. Let's see if they can make it work over the next couple of seasons. You know, and if it doesn't work, they'll have to blow it up and start over again.
And if that happens, it's going to be very, very interesting to see.
Patty, with that said, this has been a lot of fun. I think we've got a lot of great questions today. We'll get to a lot more of our terrific listener questions on Thursday. With that said, I think we will call it a show for today, Giants fans, and we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.